Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. Today, you join me, your host, Francie, here for another episode featuring our guests from KimPower, here to speak about what sets them apart from other EV charging manufacturers and why we should be paying attention to the work they're doing over there. Today, I am joined by Ashley Edwards, EVSE Technical Sales Manager, and Jed Ruth, Director of Markets at KimPower. Thank you both so much for taking the time today. How is it going?
Great, Francie. Thanks for having us.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you very much. It's exciting.
Great. Yes, very exciting. Yes, I agree. And I love your background. Ashley, we were talking about it. You've got a really snowy background, which I can't believe is actually real somewhere in the world. But is that in Finland?
Yes, it is. We like to put our chargers everywhere on Earth, including some remote locations. So that's kind of what this is supposed to emulate there. But yes, it's a Finnish picture.
For Santa's electrified sleigh is probably what
exactly.
That is. Although he has the reindeer, he doesn't need it. So obviously, one way to set yourself and your work apart at KimPower is to build out a product line that just screams, "This is how we should charge EVs." Because if you ask me, I don't really think that the way we do it now, widespread as an industry, is the only way or necessarily the best way we should be doing it. So I'm excited to hear more about your product line at KimPower, your full circle solutions, as you call them, your designs, and how this will all impact the infrastructure in the industry at large. So let's plug in. Can we start by setting the stage and having you elaborate on KimPower's full circle solutions and how they cater to various aspects of EV charging? Kind of walk me through your product line, maybe as if I were ready to, you know, be one of your customers or just learn what on earth can you do to help me support my electric life?
Sure. So maybe just a second about who KimPower is. We're obviously our background, we're a Finnish company. So the Nordics has been a little bit ahead of the curve in EV, both charging and in usage. So high vehicle usage there. And KimPower has been a part of that from the beginning. So we've got that background, and then now, obviously, with the interest in the U.S. increasing and with the funding opportunities in the U.S., we have a plant in Durham, North Carolina, where we're manufacturing today. So that's a little bit about who KimPower is. As far as our solutions go, we've got more than one. So we have, really, I would say four product types. You may say three, depending on how you look at it. We've got a power unit and a satellite. They kind of go together. And then we have a station charger, and then we have a movable charger. But let's talk about that power unit and satellite, because I think that's really our bread and butter and kind of what you're most interested in. So we're in a traditional system. Maybe you've got either an integrated unit or a power unit very close, and then maybe a couple of dispensers both giving a set amount of power individually. So if you had a 150-kilowatt system, maybe there's a 75-kilowatt charge here and another one there, maybe with different kind of cords on it. Our system doesn't quite work that way. So we would have our power unit, which could be up to 80 meters away. So it could be, you know, behind a shrub or in a building or wherever. And then it can send power to up to 8 dispensers. And those dispensers would be in what we would call a satellite. So this is what's in Ashley's background there. You can see that satellite with that one has a dual. So if it were that satellite, you know, we could have up to 4 of those with a power unit. But what's really cool to me about it is what we would call dynamic charging. So we're not limited in any particular charger or plug or cord or whatever you want to call it. So if, for instance, if you had a car that could take 150 kilowatts of charge and actually had a car that could take 20, our system knows that. And so you pull in and we say, you know what, Francie can take 150. That's what we're going to give her. And Ashley can take 20. And that really does something for both kind of interested parties. For the owner of the station, that person is really maximizing their investment. They've paid for, you know, let's say 600 kilowatts of the station, and they're very likely to be using 90% of that because they can maximize the cars. Let's say if you were actually were the driver, what that does for you is it should ultimately reduce your wait time because now you can charge at the highest optimal rate. And then it also helps everybody else because the system also knows that when you get to 80% charge and you start slowing down, the system can say, oh, Francie doesn't quite need that much now. I'm going to give some more to this driver over here. So it really maximizes both sides of the equation. Some other products as well. I mean, I think our movable product is kind of like our gateway product. Almost a lot of folks use it to, they're in a shop or they have an immediate need, and it uses the same power module as the other products. So you're getting the full Kempower experience, but it's portable. I mean, you can move it around as long as you have the correct plug, you can move it around. The third product is the station charger. It does look like maybe more what you're used to, a cabinet with actual, you know, dispensers on the cabinet itself, but it works with the same dynamic charging that the rest of our products work with. And you can also attach a couple of satellites to it as well. So it's a different way to look at it in general. And I think something that really kind of says, okay, this is what the market really needs. Let's give it to them.
Definitely a bit of a diverse array. And I do like, you know, not only the terminology of the satellite, because it kind of depicts it as more of, you know, kind of an ecosystem with these connected webs that can be optimizing the way that we use them. So I think that's a really interesting setup. And so, of course, you know, if I pull up, I'm expecting DC fast charging, but you also, or, you know, let me know for sure, is there AC charging offers that you do as well?
There's, and just another couple of things, the software behind our system, the driver won't really care about the name of it, but we call it ChargEye. But there's some really nice features there as well. So for the station owner, they have diagnostics. They can know if something's wrong. They know why it's wrong. I mean, I have people typically tell me, well, with what we have today, I know something's wrong, but that's about as far as I can go. And our system will tell you, is it us? Is it the car? Or is it you? You know, that's kind of what we'll do, which is a nice feature. But the other thing it can do is it's pretty good for the driver. So you can walk up to that satellite that you're charging on. As soon as you start, the QR code will come up. You don't need an app. You can just scan the QR code, and then it's going to tell you you're charging at this rate. It's going to take this long to fill up. You can swipe over. It gives you a graph. So then you kind of know, do I go get a cup of coffee or do I get a hamburger? You know, then that's kind of what – it's a really nice feature for the driver.
Definitely. I think also when you speak to the diagnostics, sometimes it's a mystery what exactly is going wrong. So the more specific we can be, even with, I've seen like error codes will come up, and they're error codes that are applied to many different actual errors, and even getting so granular with it so that we can know where the problem is coming from so that it can be addressed as soon as possible is very important. And Ashley, of course, you have this background from, you know, all over the world. And you said that you like to put your chargers in globally. And we mostly, I think, have a US-based audience. But of course, I know that there are some of y'all out there all over the world. Where can we find Kempower chargers?
Well, as Jed mentioned, you know, we have a really long history in the Nordics. And so, you know, as the EV adoption rate increased there, so did Kempower's output and ability to be able to supply our customers and EV you know, users with that equipment. So we have a probably 50% footprint, I would say, in the Nordics as of right now. So including, you know, Finland, where we're from, obviously, but Norway, Sweden are also really popular adopters of our technology. But, you know, we have our products in France, in Poland, in Italy, all over Southern Europe, where they are making their way down even into the Arabian Peninsula. And into Central and South America. So, you know, really it's a global effort, our Pan-Asian effort as well. We have really great projects that have been happening lately in Australia, where we've actually connected thousands of miles of roads with Kempower products. And so there's station chargers along some pretty desolate stretches of highway there. So really kind of a model for what can be done, you know, for drivers in those really rural, remote locations, which is great to see. And obviously in North America. So right now, you know, the Canadian market for us has been really great. We've got, you know, can't really put an exact number of the number of ports up there, but that's our, you know, largest installations in North America at the moment are in Canada. And daily now, or weekly at least, we have newly commissioned systems that are happening in the United States, West Coast, Central, Southern California, Texas. Most of these are behind the fence at the moment, so a lot of fleet adopters right now, but a few public charging spaces and one actually as close as Fort Mill, South Carolina, that's a public charging spot that a Kempower charger is now. So really seeing the adoption rate increase globally. We've been doing great for the past few years, as our books could tell you, but we're seeing some really great growth in the first quarter of the year right now, and kind of extending from the last couple of quarters from last year. So
Very cool. Yeah, a global footprint for sure, which makes me think of the you know, of course, the influences that are going into your work too, because like I was kind of saying at the top of the podcast, is the way that we've kind of designed and set up EV charging in the US is not necessarily maybe the peak way that we should be doing it. So right. Taking inspiration and learning from different scenarios, I think, is really important. And do you see that, you know, kind of that you've already spoken about, Jed, but like these unique design aspects are obviously, you found that these, you know, this is the way that we are carrying forward right now. This is the way that is providing the best charging. Do you think that the industry is kind of going to shift in a similar way? Do you think that Kempower is, you know, kind of could serve as an inspiration to how we should be setting up and designing our EV charging stations with your unique design?
I mean, I think so. It's, I mean, obviously I'm partial. I work here, but, I do think it's an intelligent design. And I think just really, we see ourselves as having a couple of different customers. Obviously, we've got the charge point owner or the fleet owner. But even though they're not direct customers, we want the charging experience to be great. And so we see the end user as a customer as well. And I just think it maximizes the experience for both. Mm-hmm. And it also, there's just some efficiency there. I mean, to get the same amount of charging, theoretically, you wouldn't need as much power because of the less waste, which I think is always, you know, companies succeed when they cut waste out of processes and make things more efficient for people and make people happier about their experience. So I do think it will eventually go that way.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, there's so much creative thinking to do here, because it's such a new space that, of course, research and development goes into it, and also trial and error to see what works best. And y'all have provided, you know, a significant amount of charging to a significant amount of people. So taking all that data and then putting it into your work is, I'm sure, what's happening on the back end. And then, you know, you mentioned a scenario where I would pull up to a charger, which now I can do with my company, EV, the VinFast V8, which is
congratulations.
Thank you, Spring Roll, affectionately. But so how do you ensure readiness when I pull up? And maybe we can even talk about what readiness means from your perspective and from the customer perspective when I, as an EV driver, I'm on the road and then pull over to a what is a Kim Power station and ensure that I have the experience that I need.
Right. So I think I could look at readiness a few different ways. And I think the first one, kind of the most obvious one, is the charger working. Right. I mean, that's been, I'm an EV driver. I've had that experience and it's pretty disappointing, when you pull up and you're thinking about where I'm going to go next. And so we've had a really good reputation for reliability in Europe. And part of that is around the design. So, I don't have a unit in front of me. I love to point to it when I have it. But if you opened up that power unit, if you opened the door to the cabinet, you would see an array of power modules inside that cabinet. And there's a module that also is directing them about, hey, send power to this module or this satellite, send power to that satellite. And within those, each module has two channels. So in one power unit, you could have up to four modules. We can then hook that to two more. So there could be a total of 12 power modules and 24 channels. A lot to say, but to get to this, that if one breaks down, the whole system's not down. It's just we're one power module, we're 50 kilowatts short. And that makes it super easy to diagnose for us. It makes it super easy for a technician to fix it. They don't need to go run, do a diagnostic. They can just swap it in and out. So, so it keeps the whole charger system there, the network there, up. For us to have a failure would have to be catastrophic for everybody not to be able to charge. So that really, I think, makes it, that to me is kind of like the first most simple form of readiness. But then I think you kind of harkening back to what I said before. I mean, I just charged my vehicle last weekend at a station that was just super slow. And I think everybody kind of knows how frustrating that is. You're walking in and you're expecting 20 to 30 minutes and you don't get that. And with our system, the dynamic charging part of it, that allows us to absolutely maximize the experience. So we know that, we're going to give you as much power as we can give you at any particular plug at any particular time. And maybe something's going on with the grid, but still we're going to maximize that because we have the ability to do that with our dynamic charging system. And that, to me, speaks to readiness as well.
I think that, obviously, yes, working stations is key, but also the communication that you're doing or that you're able to do even by managing all of that data and really observing it, kind of real time to make sure that I am getting, like you said, what I should be getting, or at least the best that I could get based on the circumstances. Some things are out of your control, but whatever you have in control, optimizing that experience. I think that's really important. And then along kind of the lines of communication, everyone's asking, well, the communication in a couple different ways, that's multiple meanings, but standardization as well, right? So we've used the CCS standard in the US by and large with every automaker but Tesla. But Tesla has obviously, really showed that reliability comes along with not only how Tesla manages their network, but the connector, the standard J3400, previously known as the North American Charging Standard, previously known as the Tesla Standard. I have to ask, of course, what is Kim Power's plans? Maybe Ashley, you could answer this with the North American Charging Standard. How are you going to incorporate this into your work going forward?
The NACS, or formerly known as NACS, the connector, we're going to, you'll have that option with our whole entire product suite there. And so typically now today, as we know, there's different requirements for different states, different sites, as far as what types of connectors are being used or installed. And so maybe it's depending on grant funding where they're going to ask you to put in one CHAdeMO just to make that available to somebody. We see similar things coming for the NACS standard as well. And so we're planning on making, all options available to our customers where that would be something that you would select at the time of purchase. I will also say that we are working on a retrofit kit as well that would allow you to retrofit any current satellites that are out there and charging cables that are out there now will have a UL certified retrofit kit that would allow you to do that and make that swap in the field.
Mm. Yeah, that's important too, because of course, going forward, we can make the plans of how we're going to use this new technology, but there's a whole lot out there that has the old standards. So how are we going to go about that? So that retrofitting kit and the, you know, the UL certifications, those are what I'm hearing about a lot, actually. So I love to hear that you have plans to do that. And it's a complicated place to be in. There's a lot of aligning to do from every point of the industry to figure out how we're going to optimize the experience, use the best technology that is available, and make the shift hopefully as seamless as it can be as possible. And I wouldn't even say this is a trend, but like an actual really significant change in the industry. But I would love to talk about trends and what you have seen in the product space, you know, internally and externally, that make you most excited to work in the industry of public charging and work with Kempower.
Yes, I think about that a couple of ways. I mean, there's the trends kind of within the charging space. I think we've kind of talked about our kind of core, I hope, is a trend. But also, I think everything's getting better, and I hope that the public comes to that. You know, when people think about the EV of 4 or 5 years ago, if that's what they've got in their head. But you know, for us, you've got silicon carbide technology that's coming that's just going to make just power electronics in general, you know, better power density, better voltage tolerance. You know, I think just more efficient charging. So what's coming in and what's going out are very, very close. I mean, I think that kind of thing going through the industry, you know, we're also learning how to put more and more power to individual units. You're going to see megawatt charging out there all over the place. You know, we're going to be able to charge a truck quickly. So everybody kind of knows the challenges out there. We've heard every, you know, possible argument about EVs and, you know, why they're not feasible. And I think we're quickly proving people wrong in every part of that. And then I think just what's super exciting, maybe not so much from as a charger manufacturer, but there's certainly, especially when you get to vehicles that need a lot of battery, you know, that then that's where the cost starts to tip. I mean, I think for cars now we're really getting there quickly, but there is just so much battery research, new technology, and then manufacturing capacity coming online here, and so much money being spent. I just think that in the very near future, as soon as batteries get cheaper, cars and trucks get cheaper, that one more barrier is removed for mass implementation of EVs. And that's just really nice to be in an industry where things are moving so quickly. You know, you can see it coming. It's an exciting space to be.
I totally agree. Ashley, what do you think?
Boy, I have a lot of comments, so I'll try to steer them toward one direction here. And for me, you know, personally, I've been working in the past, you know, over a decade in solar batteries and microgrid power electronics. And so, 15 years ago when I was getting into that business, you know, we had the term, it was the Wild West, right? I mean, rules and regs were catching up with, you know, what contractors and companies were already doing, you know. And so I don't feel like it's exactly where we're at right now with EVs, but it is a similar place. You know, I think you mentioned in a previous podcast how we're all early adopters right now. Even the folks that from, you know, 2012 and 2011 when we're buying Leafs to, you know, 10 years later today when we're, you know, purchasing Mach-E's, Rivian's, VinFast, you know, several other newer brands. You know, what we're seeing are these, you know, giant changes that are taking place really quickly. And when you're a part of something like that, you have the ability to really set an example. And that's really what I'm most excited about right now, is the opportunity to set an example for, you know, chargers, for what the EV charging experience should be in an ideal scenario. And that's really where, like, our engineering foundation was built on the fact that we were born from EV drivers. We had a very unique experience in the Nordics where, you know, you had a 50, 60, 70, 80% new registration rate for EVs in that area. And so when we were developing our products, our engineers were driving EVs. they were charging EVs. They were visiting these sites that the public was visiting and taking notes and saying, this has to be better. And for me personally, like being on the forefront of something like that in the charging space and the EV driver space and having a platform to really make an impact, it's awesome to me. Like, I love it. And so, I've ridden in off-highway vehicles that have been electrified. Private vehicles, fleet vehicles. I've had a lot of opportunity in the past year here working at KemPower. And it's just so exciting to bring electrification to these places where the Fords of the world live, the Caterpillars of the world live, Brindella boats of the world live, and now we're all electrifying. There's nothing cooler than being like on the water with a silent, motor behind you. And that's all that you hear. There's nothing cooler than, I'm sure, for these, off-highway workers to be in a mine working with this heavy equipment that doesn't emit any, noxious gases and fumes. It's silent, it's safe, it's healthy. And as we continue to adopt this, you'll show up at your work after riding an electric bus and you'll feel better than you did a year ago. And you won't know why, but it's because you haven't been sitting next to a diesel engine for that long, I know I'm going on a little bit here, so I apologize, but I'm obviously really excited and passionate about it. And for me, just the excitement around the industry, and electrification in general, it gets me going. And I really love what KemPower is doing. And it's what drew me to the company in the first place.
That's amazing. And honestly, that's who you want on your team, is folks who have a distinct passion for it, whatever kind of mission you have. And I agree. I mean, I think it's an incredible space to be in that is changing all the time. And like you said, there's so much opportunity to set the status quo high, to show this is what we were doing back in 2024 and look what it did to the future. I think there's so much great potential, and not only being creative, but very, very intentional, doing a lot of the research, living electric so that you can be building it into the infrastructure you're making. I mean, I think this is all really part of it. And you both mentioned some things that reminded me of the role of regulation. There's a lot of money going into this space. There's a lot of entities getting involved, regulation, policy, rules. And of course, as you're advancing your hardware, you're expanding your footprint, you're considering that as well. So I'd love to kind of just touch on a little bit the specific benefits that programs like the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure Program, NEVI program, for those who aren't familiar, but I bet y'all are, that might bring to both the individual users of your network, but also fleet operations and also KemPower as a whole.
Yeah, well, we may not be in North America if it hadn't been for those programs. They have both NEVI and then the IIJA programs, they all have a Build America, Buy America component to them. And so, we had to have a manufacturing facility here, which I'm super grateful for. So I'd really like my job and wouldn't be working for KemPower if it wouldn't have been for that. But we also have, a purchasing component. The materials we buy and put into our chargers, have to be over 55% American content. So there's that. I don't think you would have that head start on the infrastructure itself without those programs. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of them that serve different purposes. So NEVI basically is saying, let's get our highways, let's get it where you can drive down the highway and find a charging station at the appropriate place. And so that's mostly, I think, for the driver like me, but there's no reason why a fleet can't take advantage of it. Maybe it won't have the megawatt charging capacity that a fleet might need if they were a Class 8 truck or something, but certainly fleets can take advantage of it. But I think, it's just one of those things, the government builds roads, right? They build roads for transportation for all cars. Well, there's some need to jumpstart electrification on our highways. I mean, at least in my driving experience, 90% of the time I don't need that, but the 10% that I do, super, super important to have. So those kind of programs, and then I think there are all kinds of other programs out there for fleet owners. There's the transit bus, school bus, all those programs these are really good applications for electric. They're really important applications for electric. Having a school child ride on a quiet, clean vehicle is important. Having public transit in the middle of a city be clean is super important. And there's money for fleets there too. So it's really been a big deal for us being here. I think it's a needed thing, you know, and it's helping the market catch up. You know, so for, if you just think about it, you know, NEVI funds going into a charging station on the road calls KemPower to invest money in North America and put jobs here. And then, you know, we go out and we source those materials from companies that, you know, otherwise wouldn't have been selling those parts to an American company. It just does have a multiplicative effect. And I think it's been a big deal for us.
Yeah. Do you mind if I touch on something there, Francie, as well? The one great thing I think about the NEVI program in general, that it, what it's going to do for EV drivers and consumers is provide a standardization and some expectation. And I think that's one thing that's really been lacking so far is, you know, when you talk to EV drivers and folks, EV skeptics as well, you know, a lot of it is because it's unknown. You know, I'm here, I'm charging, and I know that right now my car is getting 127 kilowatts. I know that I need to charge another, 100 miles down the road. But I can see this, you know, charge point on a map, and I know I'm going to reach that destination. But based on the reviews and other things, I just don't really know what to expect. Is it going to be a 60 kW max charger, or is it going to be, you know, a 350 kilowatt, you know, hypercharger or something like that? And so, you know, providing some standardization along the way, I think is really going to be impactful for people. You know, the uptime and the rest is a key component there with it for that expectation. But, you know, it's when you pull up to fuel your normal, you know, combustion vehicle now, you know, we're not exactly looking for flow rates on you know, on the dispenser when we pull up. So it's a unique thing that we're having to, you know, unique characteristic that we're having to get past, you know, for the market adoption. But I think that this NEVI program will go a long way in providing that expectation for people and that standardization that we've come to expect from our normal fueling activities.
Great points brought up by both of you, Jed, about how, you know, KemPower and who else knows what other kind of ripple effects that has being able to come into the U.S. and take advantage of this opportunity. And then also, like you said, Ashley, a united force to standardize something that is definitely still emerging, definitely still working the kinks out and having some structure there. And yeah, the unified effort behind it. I think that's really important to note because I think we, you know, just as a general person, sure, what is NEVI doing? More chargers, but it's really a very widespread impact on what this kind of government initiative can do and the positive impacts from it as well. Thank you for sharing that. I loved what you all had to say. And I, in general, really appreciate you for coming onto the podcast today and sharing your time and your expertise with me, walking me through your product offerings, the unique aspects of them, how you think that KemPower is kind of paving the way and helping both me and the audience see what you do more clearly. And we will have other episodes as well featuring you and other colleagues, including episodes on scalability, reliability, green tech, and climate, and even more about regulation because there is plenty here. So yeah, thank you. If folks want to find out more about KemPower, how would you tell them to carry on their little way on the internet?
Yeah, you can see everything we talked about for products on KemPower.com, and a lot of good information on there, a lot of information about different segments that you're interested in, whatever your individual need might be, you can find it there.
We're also really, really active on LinkedIn as well. So you can check out lots of little interviews. You can keep up with us globally, but also here in North America. And please, you know, get in touch. And if you are interested, we would love to welcome you in Durham as well for a visit.
Who, me? I'd love that.
The audience as well. I mean, we're happy to have those discussions. But yes, absolutely, Francie. Of course, anyone from out of spec is always available. Yeah.
Thank you. I did love North Carolina. And yeah, everyone, I would recommend going and, you know, checking out KemPower online, trying to find a site near you if they happen to be near you. And in general, just staying up to date with what they're doing, because I do think it is really cool. And if you have any questions, of course, you can go straight to KemPower. And also, you know, feel free to leave them in the comments below if you're tuning in on YouTube and share your thoughts. And hopefully KemPower can come over and help us answer any questions you have or point you in the right direction. And thank you again so much, both of you, for coming on to the podcast, and everyone tuning in. Thank you for plugging into the Out of Spec podcast. I hope you have a lovely rest of your day and that you enjoyed this little episode of the Out of Spec podcast. And I will see you next time on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.